Before we get started, I'd just like to, while we were singing that beautiful song, I was just looking around and seeing how beautiful this place looks. And it took a lot of work last week. I sat around supervised, but it took a lot of work. The biggest thing is Dave Ray and I were thankful that Colin and Sue Sullivan's grandson Sam were here because they did the garland, and nobody over the age of 30 should go up there. So we need young people in the church, if only to hang those things up. So thank you, Colin. Thank you to all of you that showed. It was fun. We had scones, we had fun, we had laughter, and many hands make light work. So this is, as you see, this series is called Same Day Delivery. And this one we're calling Why Jesus? That's the why question. But the Same Day Delivery series title has a double meaning. The first is about the rush of the holidays. It's inevitable with all the work and school deadlines and of all the holiday to-do lists that we're going to feel the need for speed. Now, as this typically is the fastest month of the year, same-day delivery is simply an expectation. Please don't make me wait for my package this month. As one comedian put it, I don't just want same-day delivery. I want them to know what I want before I want it, so it's in my hand the moment I think of it. I mean, we've almost got to that point. So counteracting the inevitable rush of the season is one aspect of the series, but the other meaning to this title is the obvious delivery of the Savior to this world. Jesus the Christ, born in that manger 2,000 years ago. What's that all about? Well, let's start there today, because I'm convinced that if we understand why Jesus came to earth, why he came to earth, became a man, also known as the incarnation, for a big churchy word, then we can have the best Christmas ever. If we understand the why did he come? I know you may be thinking there's no other way I can have the best Christmas ever after the year I've had. Some of us are probably actually staying busy just to get through this month. Or the grief of having the first Christmas without your loved one who passed away this year. Or the finances being tight. You wonder how you can possibly have the best Christmas ever this year. Well, let me show you. We're going to be looking at one of the very first Christian songs ever written. Most scholars call it the Christ hymn, and it's found in the book of Philippians, one of Paul's letters, in the second chapter, in the sixth verse. It's such a solid text for us to better understand Jesus' delivery into our world. Watch how it starts by showing us who Jesus is at the core. Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. You see that? He was in a place of power in heaven, and he chose to become a servant in human likeness. Jesus being born into this world wasn't the beginning of him. While your conception and birth was the beginning of you, it wasn't the beginning of Jesus. He has always existed. You've probably heard of it as the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, always in perfect relationship with each other, which, by the way, is why the church matters so much. We are made in the image of God, and God reveals himself to us as three persons in one, and I know this trips some people up. If it doesn't, then it's not divine. It trips some people up, this concept. I used to try to solve it. Anybody? Any of you that have preached or taught before, you try to give them that really quick, cute thing to do? But three, God is one, three distinct persons in one. It doesn't make sense. So I would try to illustrate like an egg. One's the shell, one's the egg white, and one's the yolk, and that breaks down. That doesn't work. We tried the water thing where it's liquid and it's solid and it's steam. That breaks down. That doesn't work. You know what I've come to do? What my explanation is? I've come to rest in the mystery. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with not being able to explain something divine to you. Just because I can't explain doesn't mean it's not true. And we put, I think we push away mystery so quickly. We want the answers. I want to have the answer, and I'm guilty of that. I want to know what's the solution. But mystery is what makes us remember you're not God. That's what mystery helps you do. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm not in charge of everything. And so while our minds can't fully grasp the concept of the Trinity, the point is that Jesus was with the Father and the Spirit in a perfect relationship in the very, very beginning. We are made for relationship because why? Because we're made in God's image. Jesus has always existed, and we just read that he didn't use his divine power for his own advantage. He became fully human like us. What does that mean? How is Jesus like us? Several things. First, he was born like us. He was born in human flesh. He needed diapers, or the 2,000-year-ago equivalent of that. I don't want to think about it. He cried, which, by the way, is contrary to the lyric from A Wing in the Manger, with no crying he makes. He cried. He was born human. He was born into this world fully human. He grew like us. He went to school. He had homework. He went through puberty. He'd bleed if he scraped his knee. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with humans. He went through all the same stages of growth that we do, and he gained favor with people and with God every day. Think about this. He could have been born at 30, right? Just get started. Just get started. He could have been born at 30, but instead he went through all the same stages of life. One of those stages is that he was tempted like us. Jesus had the same drives and desires that we have, but look at how he handled it. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. Why? Because he had the same temptations. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. The same temptations to lie, to cheat, to steal. He never gave in to them. And this is important because why? He can relate to you when you're struggling. Next thing, he suffered like us. He knew pain, lots of it. He knew disappointment. He got tired. He got fatigued. He felt lonely at times. You can read about that. He was betrayed. We have evidence of that. He grieved. We have evidence of that. He cried. We have evidence of that. And because he was human, he felt every one of those things deeply. In fact, on the night of his death, when he was praying, he sweat drops of blood. He knew what it was like to feel deep pain. So he can relate to your pain, to your problems, and to your pressures. When you say, "No one understands my pain," you're wrong. Jesus does. He's been completely alone. He was familiar with the bitterness of grief. And that's what the next verse confirms. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. You see that? While Jesus relates to us in all these ways, he humbled himself and took it beyond what we have. To put Christmas in a nutshell, Jesus was born to die. Let me say it again. We're not going to read that on any Christmas card. But to put Christmas in a nutshell, Jesus was born to die. He could have called 10,000 angels and stopped the process at any point. He did not have to go to the cross. Nobody put him there without his permission. Don't let anybody tell you that either. Why did he humble himself to go to the cross? For you and for me. It's as simple as that. To go where humanity never had and never did. And never will. To take the sin of the world. Why? Because evil has to be dealt with. That's called justice. Sin has done infinite damage to this world. The wars, the murders, hatred between people, rapes, hurts, lies, betrayals. We need justice against sin. It just needs to be punished. But God so loved the world that his son said, Jesus said, "Punish me." Jesus humbled himself and died to take the sin of the world. He didn't come into this world just to give us a good role model. show us how to live. He came to rescue us because we were drowning in sin and drowning in rebellion. He came to save us. As long as you say, think I'm okay, I'm not that bad, you are the person in the most danger. If you think you don't need a Savior, that's your problem. If you don't need a Savior, God wouldn't have wasted all the effort to send you one. The very fact that Jesus Christ did come to earth, gave up all the glory of heaven, became a human being, became a little baby, to be born as a little baby, and then grow up, and then have pains and pressure and temptations, and to die a painful death on a cross, and then be raised to life, means that you need what he has to offer. God would not have gone through all of that if we weren't in such desperate need. God went through all of that because we desperately needed him. Jesus was born to die, period. That's the point to Christmas. That's why we celebrate. He made the way to God for all of us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for that opportunity, for that gift, for the glorious love that you've bestowed on us. Anybody in this congregation right now that needs to hear your voice, I just ask that in this moment of silence that you do that. After all that we just read, Jesus gave up the glory of heaven to become just like us, to die for us. So verse 9, therefore, now that alone will make it the best Christmas ever. But let's really get practical for all those who are stressed out and nervous about the craziness of the month ahead. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to the glory of God the Father. Do you see that? Jesus is Lord. That may not be shocking to many of you. Let's look at that a little bit deeper. I think the word is misused, misunderstood, used flippantly by any people, even Christians. They don't understand the meaning of Lord. Lord is the word that means master, ruler, number one, the one in control, total sovereign, king. Here's a fresh way to explain Christmas. Jesus was born to die, but he rose to be Lord. We just read that one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, that he will be given his due honor, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that means that all of the arrogance in the world that puts itself up against Christ, and all of the denial and pseudoscientific and psychological and philosophical arguments that are put, will fall by the wayside and see the authority of Jesus Christ. Every nationality, every age group, every male, female, every religion will say Jesus is Lord. When I say all, I mean all. All of the politicians will say Jesus is Lord. All of the rock stars will say Jesus is Lord. All of the scientists, professors, business owners, homemakers will say what? Jesus is Lord. Everyone will admit it. The issue is not, will you admit that Jesus is Lord? You will one day. The issue is simply when. The sooner you bow your knee, the sooner life makes sense. The sooner you realize that you are not the center of the universe, the sooner you will find the hope of Christmas that we all long for. It may look like the other side is winning, but Jesus is Lord. You may think he can't cope with any more, but there's too much pressure on you, but Jesus is Lord. You may think your problems are too great and you can't handle them, but Jesus is Lord. Circumstances may pile up against you and people may thwart you and fight you, but Jesus is Lord. Say that phrase when you're discouraged, Jesus is Lord. When you're tired, when you're worried, afraid, say Jesus is Lord. Say it when you don't think you can go on another foot. Say it when you're grieving and you don't know why somebody has been taken from you, somebody has died. Jesus is Lord. Say it when you're lonely, and say it at Christmas. Make it the theme of your life. Let's pause there and bring this theology into everyday life. Christmas is so beautiful and so complicated. It's filled with such awe and wonder at times. Holy moments when we sing together and we stop and reflect on God's goodness. But then that pesky to-do list blindsides us. The presents to buy, the bills to pay, the food to prepare, the house to decorate or redecorate and clean and then clean again. The year-end responsibilities at work, the painful emotions to avoid from this past year. Stresses you're facing in your own personal life. A possible time for you to reflect is when those times hit you hard. What we just studied today in this Christian hymn isn't just good head knowledge, not just good Bible knowledge to feel more Christian. This can actually change how we experience life this Christmas. When we say Jesus is Lord, it means He's got you. He knows your stress. He knows your pressure. He knows your fear. It means when you do your part, you can leave the outcome to Him. The end result of any situation in His hands, Jesus has got you because He is the Lord. In other words, when Jesus is my Lord, He will give me rest. Whoa. The world promises a lot and delivers very little. They deliver pain and pressure and anxiety, right? Jesus promises the opposite, and we find it when we make the personal decision to make Him Lord of our life. Because Jesus humbled Himself and was born in that manger 2,000 years ago to rescue us from this dark world and claim His throne as Lord. Why? Because He loves us, period. He just does. But He's not going to force Himself on you. So that's why we talk about surrendering to Him so often. He knows that we need to have the much-needed Christmas hope. In fact, here's the great example. Jesus said this, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." Breathe easy. Jesus is Lord. He's got you. His kingdom is sure. His power is unstoppable. His will is good. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says that their faith in Christ, from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about what you have already heard in the true message of the gospel, that hope stored up in heaven is the absolute certainty of eternal life with Jesus, with those who believe in Him. And how amazing is that? When you want a same-day delivery in your situation, just remember Jesus is Lord. God is faithful. Jesus was born to die and to rescue you, and He rose to be Lord to guide you in the complexity of life. God keeps His promises, so trust the journey. The best way to experience a fully, truly beautiful Merry Christmas is to say, Jesus is and will be Lord of my life. Amen.